E-Tidings Cosmos, good morning 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Tho Míle Fáilte Rothansha. I am your host, Richard McSweeney, a self-designated lyrical Irish philosopher of the natural kind. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. Parents or teachers might be heard to say to a child, "Oh, listen, listen, listen to the wind. Can you hear it? Can you hear it?" But we can't really hear the wind, rather something invisible that has a force to it, which when brushes by things or through things, causes them to give off a certain sound, such as the rustling of the leaves, or the singing of electricity wires, hollow iron gates and crevices. With a careful listening to what we say, we might be able to identify many such not fully true sayings. I wonder, do I use such sayings quite unbeknownst to myself? And a sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old, saying, "How excellent and wondrous nature is revealing itself. He would, with a beautiful joy in his eyes, oft be heard to exclaim. Its self-supporting goodness and nourishing wisdom he saw manifesting itself in abundance everywhere he looked. And with a familiarity he knew himself to be of this same self-supporting goodness and nourishing wisdom. He saw no place where nature is not, no place where it wasn't preserving itself. Nature he viewed as having nothing outside of itself. There was no outside or beyond of nature. Everywhere and in every place, be it of the waters, of the land, of the blue sky or the starry heavens, he could see nature was simultaneously manifesting and subtly hiding itself within itself. This was nature admirably conversing with itself. And with a familiarity, he knew himself to be of this same manifestation, subtlety, and conversation." In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from As You Like It, Tao Te Ching, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity from As You Like It. "Forbear and eat no more. Why, I have eaten none yet, nor shall not till necessity be served. Of what kind should this cock come of? That thou dost beholden man by thy distress, or else a rude despiser of good manners, that in civility thou seemest so empty? You touch my vein at first. The thorny point of bare distress had taken from me the show of smooth civility. Yet am I inland bred and know some nurture. But forbear, I say. He dies that touches any of this fruit till I and my affairs are answered. And you will not be answered with reason, I must die. What would you have? Your gentleness shall have force more than your force move us to gentleness. I almost die for food, and let me have it. Sit down and feed, and welcome to our table. Speak you so gently? Pardon me, I pray. I thought that all things had been savage here, and therefore put I on the countenance of stern commandment. But whatever you are, that in this desert inaccessible, under the shade of melancholy boughs, lose and neglect the creeping hours of time, if ever you have looked on better days, if ever been where bells have knolled to church, if ever sat at any good man's feast, if ever from your eyelids wiped a tear, and know what is to pity and be pitied, let gentleness my strong enforcement be, in the which hope I blush and hide my sword. True is it that we have seen better days, and have with holy bell been knolled to church, and sat at good men's feast, and wiped our eyes of drops that sacred pity had engendered, and therefore sit you down in gentleness, and take upon command what help we have, that to your wanting may be ministered. Then but forbear your food a little while, whilst like a doe I go to find my fawn and give it food. There is an old poor man, who after me had many a weary step limbed in pure love, Till he be first sufficed, oppressed with too weak evils, age and hunger, I will not touch a bite. Go find him, and we will nothing waste till you return. I thank ye, and be blessed for your good comfort. Thou seest we are not all alone unhappy. This wide and universal theatre presents more woeful pageants than the scene wherein we play in. All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. At first the infant, mewling and pook, in the nurse's arms, and then the whining schoolboy, with his satchel and shining morning face, creeping like snail unwillingly to school. And then the lover, sighing like furnace, with a woeful ballad made to his mistress's eyebrow. Then a soldier, full of strange oaths and bearded like a pard, jealous and honest, sudden and quick in quarrel, seeking the bubble reputation even in the cannon's mouth. And then the justice, in fair round belly with good cape unlined, with eyes severe and beard a formal cut, full of wise saws and modern instances, and so he plays his part. The sixth stage shifts into the lean and slippered pantaloon, with spectacles and nose and pouch in sight, whose youthful hose, well saved, a world too wide for his shrunk shank, and his big manly voice turning again toward childish treble, pipes and whistles in his sound. Last scene of all, that ends this strange eventful history, is second childishness and mere oblivion, sense teats and dyes, sense taste, sense everything. Welcome, sit down, your venerable burden, and let him feed. I thank you most for him. So had you need, I scarce can speak to thank you for myself. Welcome, fall too. I will not trouble you as yet to question you about your fortunes. Give some music and a good cousin sing song. Blow, blow, thou winter wind, thou art not so unkind as man's ingratitude. Thy tooth is not so keen because thou art not seen, although thy breath be rude. Hi ho, sing hi ho unto the green holly. Most friendship is finging, most loving mere folly. Then hi-ho, the holly, this life is most jolly. Freeze, freeze, thou bitter sky, thou dost not bite so high as benefits forgot. Though thou the waters warp, thy sting is not so sharp as friend remembered not. Hi-ho, hi-ho, sing hi-ho. If that you were the good Sir Roland's son, as you have whispered faithfully you were, and as mine eye that his effigy's witness, most truly limbed and lining to your in your face, be truly welcome hither. I am the duke that loved your father. The residue of your fortune, go to my cave and tell me. Good old man, thou art right welcome as thy master is. Support him by the arm. Give me your hand, and let me all your fortunes understand. Tao Dai Jing, Installment 27. The skillful traveller leaves no wheel track. The skillful speaker makes no slip of the tongue. The skillful reckoner uses no tallies. The skillful closer needs no bolts, while it is impossible to open what he has shut. The skillful binder uses no strings or knots, while it is impossible to loosen what he has bound. In the same way, the sage is always skillful at saving people, and there is no rejected person. He is always skillful at saving things, there is no rejected thing. This is called procuring enlightenment. Therefore, the man of skill is a master of he who has no skill, and he who has no skill is the servant of he who has skill. If one does not value his master, and the other does not love his servant, intelligent as they might be perplexed. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. Northern Star visitor spoke to me, saying, "Immaculate of Era, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn?" Of a day, of a morning back in Over the Way. A crown princess of the Kerry Landry was having a very interesting conversation with a sage. Now, this sage was well known for saying quite outlandish things, but it was for this very reason that she greatly liked to be chatting with him. And the sage spoke, saying, "Before I was a babe in my mother's womb, Your Highness, I was a toddler on her lap." "How so?" "Not alone that, but before I was a toddler on my mother's lap, Your Highness, I was a child playing about in the fields with my brothers and sisters." "Unbelievable. How so?" "Oh, not alone that, Your Highness, but before I was a child playing about in the fields with my brothers and sisters, I was a youth playing with my helping my father sow seeds and harvest grains." "What are you saying? How so?" "It doesn't stop there, Your Highness, for before I was a youth helping my father sow seeds and harvest grains, I was a young man with my lover in the groves, and in marriage vows we were told." "Where can this line of thinking go?" "Go, Your Highness, much further does it go, for before I was a young man with my lover in the groves, I was a middle-aged man with children of my own. And to save you asking, Your Highness, before that I was a grandfather with looking forward to the next whosoever whatsoever me." "What do you mean?" "Before I was an old man, a grandfather, Your Highness, I was an acorn, a sapling, a young tree, a 100-year-old tree, a 500-year-old tree." "Whoever heard of a toddler being there before the babe in the womb, the child before the toddler, the youth before the child, the adult before the youth, the middle-aged before the adult, and the old before the middle-aged?" "It may never have been heard of save here and by Your Highness." "I have heard it, but I can't seem to make any sense of it." "What if I were to say, Your Highness, that before today, already there had been tomorrow?" "I would say that I have little or no idea what it is you're saying. My ears are burning, though, with wanting to know." "Before this week, Your Highness, already there had been next week. Before this month, already there had been next month. Before this year, already there had been next year. Without first there having been next year, next month, next week, and tomorrow, there would have been no today. Will be no next week, no next month, or no next year. Before comes before, and that before is before us rather than behind us. I will need to take some time to think about your words, for I must admit I am having difficulty readjusting my set way of thinking to such a way of looking at reality. It is as simple, Your Highness, as saying this afternoon came before this in which we are now in. This which we call morning. I will visit you again when I have thought your words through, as much through as I can do on my own. Take your time, Your Highness. Be at ease, lest thinking that spontaneity may have its role play. The answers are already ready before you, requiring nothing more than your arrival at them. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay, way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when we're living in your own realm and time, you will never have any reason to hide your face from yourself, neither ever will you have any occasion to forsake yourself. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. And spare a thought too for peoples living in faraway places, in all different kinds of situations, often very difficult, and not at all of their own making. You've been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind, bringing radio to the internet, via Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes, Monday to Friday. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticCloseTDramascripts.com. It is truly an honor to have your listening. It is more than a voice in your ear. There is power in listening, more than a phrase in your eye. Insight there is in reading. Enjoy both, and please do spread the word. Thank you so much, Richard. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Sloan, Agus Banachtlat.